be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry.
Yep,
we
I'm here.
We'll all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak.
That's my intro music.
We'll all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning
the break.
Of
the that'd be good. Thank you.
Just sing out a tedium when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Today, once again, I'm guest hosting on the Power Hour, and therefore I will be speaking to both audiences. Today, however, I wanted to take advantage of the fact that when they run their commercial breaks, I could speak with you here on Revolution Radio. I have at my side Danny Siras, who, of course, is an expert in law enforcement, and I love all the stuff Danny and I have done, most recently, of course, with regard to the Boulder shooting, which was exposed as a complete false flag by a citizen journalist whom, oddly enough, seems to believe that it was real, even though his own video demonstrated, to my mind, conclusively that it was fake. Danny, your further thoughts. Isn't this highly anomalous that this guy seems to still think that it was a real event when it appears to have been completely staged?
Hello, sir, and it's good to be with you today. Yeah, we did cover that in extensive. When you look at it as in depth as we looked, the Boulder thing is quite comical. There were so many anomalies involved. And then when that video came out, it already looked a little strange before, but when that video came out and I brought it to your attention and we analyzed that thing together, it became quite clear very quickly that it was a false flag for sure.
Yeah, embarrassingly bad, Danny. Really embarrassingly bad. And you're telling me we have some other altercations going on that are being presented as police shootings. Could you give us a sketch, an update of what's going on?
Well, we have a lot of police incidences that are all of a sudden coming out that seem very strange. But we had one in Texas the other day, and there's so many of them now, it's hard to keep up. You know, I still try to look at some of the real ones to stay sharp along with some of the fake ones. But we had one in Texas in a little town called Byron, which is outside of, well, I don't really know where it's outside of. It's in the middle of nowhere. I guess you could say it's outside of Austin and then sort of outside of Houston. It's a little tiny small town. And the story goes from the media that somebody in a cabinet shop went crazy. And the gentleman that they put on the news, his name is Larry Bolin, 27 years old, went crazy in a cabinet shop and shot a bunch of people way out in the middle of nowhere. And, of course, I looked into his background, and there's a lot of strange anomalies we can talk about if you want to get into that.
Well, Danny, we're about to be brought into the Power Hour here momentarily. I just want everyone to know that Danny and I are here, and we're going to, you know, take advantage of the break. So I believe Mitchell may have our usual break set up for the bottom of the hour to fill in with further conversation about the events I'm reporting on, the Power Hour, which I would have been reporting to you directly, but for the invitation to do the guest appearance, which, thank you. Well, Power Hour Nation, this is Jim Fetzer once again sitting in for Daniel. I'm so appreciative for having this opportunity. Once again, I have with me is my sidekick, Danny Siras, with extensive law enforcement background. And we're going to begin really pretty much where we began before, where mainstream media are reporting the CDC 2,794 deaths following these experimental COVID injections, where Europe has nearly double that number, plus almost a quarter of a million injuries. And what's crucial to appreciate is this only a small percentage of the actual deaths and injuries. In fact, this number is only 1 to 5%. If for simplicity, you assumed it's 1%. That means there are actually roughly 100 times more deaths going on. So if the CDC is reporting 2,794 deaths multiplied by 100, you get 279,400 deaths. And similarly, 250,000 has to be multiplied so that we've got many, many millions of injuries, which the mainstream is not reporting. Health Impact News has observed, judging by reported surveys among Americans who plan to get one of these experimental injections, more than half the population actually believes the CDC that these thousands of deaths following injections are coincidence and have nothing to do with the injections. Not only is the fact that 2,794 times 100, as I've observed, have died following COVID-19 injections headline news, it's clearly criminal it's a form of murder by injection. As readers have told us, network news is telling everyone there have been no deaths related to COVID-19 injections, and they can legally make that claim because they're repeating what the CDC is saying. Where the CDC, we have to recognize, is a corrupt private organization with no elected officials, holds numerous patents on vaccines, earns revenue from the sale of vaccine, and is actually the public relations and marketing arm of Big Pharma. That's how you want to think of the CDC, the publishing and marketing arms of Big Pharma. Meanwhile, we have an eminent doctor who's been censored, but who's testified to the Senate Committee on Health and Human Services, Dr. Peter McCullough. This is an important guy, exceedingly well qualified. This was addressing the Texas State Senate Health and Human Service Committee, where he's providing thorough information on what's actually going on, where the data, he explains, could have saved over 500,000 deaths in the United States alone that are being attributed to the coronavirus. I'm not talking now about the deaths from the vaccines, but the deaths from the coronavirus, which could have been saved had they been promoting, for example, hydroxychloroquine. Dr. Peter McCullough, MD, is an internist and cardiologist, a professor of medicine at Texas A&M University Health and Science Center, He's distinguished as the most published person in history in his field and editor of two major medical journals. He explained from the beginning of the pandemic, he refused to let his patients languish at home with no treatment and be hospitalized when it was too late. So they put together a team of doctors to appropriately prescribe off-label use of conventional medicine, which would include HCQ, of course. The interesting thing was, while there were 50,000 papers in the peer-reviewed literature on COVID, not a single one told doctors how to treat it. When does that happen? I was absolutely stunned. And when this paper was published, it became the most cited paper in basically all of medicine at that time in the world. Why? Because he was explaining what to do about it. He did a video, went viral within a week. YouTube, however, declared they'd violated the terms of the community and they banned it. That's what they do. Anytime you have something that contests the official narrative about COVID or a host of other issues, but especially now the vaccines or the pandemic, they're going to ban it because they become instruments of the deep state, have no doubt about it. Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, all denying the American people access to the information they need at the time they need it. You can check out the blog here, as well as several others that I have on jamesfetzer.org, including my first report, link to my first report on the coronavirus phenomenon, real or fiction, already back in 26 May of 2020. 26 May of 2020, you can link to it there. Meanwhile, we know HCQ is good. Facebook and JAMA, that's a journal of the American Medical Association, admit they got it wrong. After 440,000 Americans are dead, Facebook and the American Journal of Medicine admit their stand on HCQ is wrong. These people should be prosecuted. I believe that. In reference to early treatments that have been widely used outside the West with great success, having about 1% to 10% of the death rates reported throughout the rest of the world, he turned attention to the media suppression of information, asking, when was the last time you turned on the news and got a window to the outside world? When did you get an update about how the rest of the world is handling COVID? Never. What's happened in this pandemic is the world has closed in on us. There's only one doctor whose face is on TV now. One, not a panel. As doctors, we always work in groups. We always have different opinions. There's not a single media doctor on TV who's ever treated a COVID patient. Not a single one. Not a single person in the White House task force who's ever treated a patient. Isn't that amazing? Think about the complete and total blind spot. And of course, the figure who's appearing on television is Dr. Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci, whom I declare will go down as the greatest mass murderer in history, being responsible for more death and devastation in the United States and all of our foreign enemies combined. Meanwhile, you'll also find I embedded another documentary, the DNCCV Conspiracy, how BLM, Antifa, and the Black and the DNC agenda fit together, that I originally published on 26 July 2020. That's embedded here too, including, of course, a report from Senator Scott Jensen, MD. He's a state senator in Minnesota, how he was pressured to assign COVID-19 as the cause of death for a patient who'd never been tested, and where he was, I believe, the first to report hospitals were being paid $30,000 to list a patient as COVID-19 and $39,000 to put him on a ventilator. Danny, this is all just stunning stuff. Have you been tracking what's been going on here?
I've been following the COVID as close as I can and some of the news that's coming out, you know. But what really upsets me about this thing the most, and I'm not a doctor, Dr. Fetzer, but what upsets me the most is early on, we had several doctors, and I can't remember all the names because there were so many of them that have come out with the HCQ prescription. There was one that I had saved through the internet. He actually wrote the prescription and put it out very clearly. And it was HCQ, some antibiotics, and some zinc.
Right.
Might have been one more item in there.
No. HCQ, the Z-Pack, and zinc. Yes, I've taken it myself. You're absolutely right, Danny. And we had many physicians who were treating hundreds of patients, and every single one of them survived, as I recall. It's astounding.
That's what I was about to say is, you know, the one doctor that I watched very closely said he was running a 100% track record amongst all ages. And, you know, what I thought early on is, why is it that the media would be giving him a hard time? He was trying to get it out to the world. He was trying to explain his success rate, but yet the media was giving him a hard time for talking about his success rate. And early on, I kept saying to myself, why would they be harassing and trying to suppress a doctor who's trying to help and tout a success rate and give out a treatment for other doctors? That made no sense at all. And of course, now here we are today, and it makes perfect sense if a small group of people wanted there to be a lot of death, people getting sick for no reason. Now, if you were somebody like that, of course, maybe you might try to suppress it. So we know it's been out for a while. We know all about the track record.
Those are excellent comments, Danny. And here we have a whole nother line of proof that this pandemic is fake, coming from the life insurance industry. Listen to this. Ben Swan, having an expert in mathematical modeling and statistics, who's in the life insurance industry and is explaining the COVID pandemic is not affecting their bottom line. Listen to this.
So just how deadly is the coronavirus? You know, if you listen to the media or people like Dr. Anthony Fauci, they will convince you that COVID-19 is the most deadly disease possibly ever in the history of mankind. But the numbers don't actually back that up. And one way to know that is by looking at something called life insurance and the rates surrounding life insurance. Today, we talk with Bob Burnett of Create Tailwind about what he has found when it comes to those life insurance numbers and why they tell a very different story than what you're hearing in the media. I was talking with Bob and Jim just a couple of weeks ago as we were talking about Create Tailwind, and Bob brought up a very important issue that we decided to create into a separate episode because I think it's such an important issue. Bob and Jim both work with life insurance. That's part of their infinite banking process, is using life insurance. And Bob mentioned to me in one of our conversations that one of the things he's noticed is that life insurance rates have not changed as a result of COVID-19. And on top of that, the death rate in America has not changed in 2020 either. And that is significant because if you think about what we're being told about COVID, we're led to believe that we're in the midst of one of the most deadly and dangerous viruses in the history of the world. If that were true, shouldn't life insurance reflect that? Well, technically it should, but it doesn't. So let's bring in Bob Burnett. Bob, thanks for being with us. Just tell us a little bit about what you have found in terms of looking at this issue and what stands out to you about life insurance as it relates to COVID deaths.
I watch the media cover this topic. I find it very interesting that they don't go to what I believe is the most obvious source for information about this, which is the life insurance industry. And I am involved in the life insurance industry. I also have a background in mathematical modeling and statistics. And it seems to me that when you're looking especially at mortality, there's no better benchmark than the insurance industry. And they have to be honest about it, because if they react to it with an increase in rates, obviously their sales are going to go down. And if they react to it by increasing their reserve levels, then the dividends go down. So they kind of have this situation where they have to be true and honest to the situation. And in examining it, if we went to at least the life insurance companies I work with, and we said, on March 1st of 2020, hey, Ben, you want $1 million term life insurance policy or whole life insurance policy, you would have been given a certain rate. if we went and asked them for the same quote today, they would charge you exactly the same price. So they also have had no changes in their approval rates for people in terms of the health rating that they place on these people. So when you get insurance, you get, obviously you get a rate, you get a health level, and then the insurance companies also have to set off a reserve to pay all the death benefits for the tens of thousands of policies they have in place already. And they have not really made any changes in their reserve structure.
So help us to understand how this works, because when it comes to life insurance, essentially they're not acting according to what media pundits say, certainly not according to what, you know, the talking heads on television have to say. They're focused on actual raw numbers. And the raw numbers, it sounds like, are not bearing out this idea that we have seen a spike in mortality, correct?
The mortality of the base of people applying for life insurance really hasn't changed. And I think when you examine, you know, the under 70 age population, mortality rates pretty much unchanged. Those who are not obese, pretty much unchanged. Those who are not on smokers, pretty much unchanged. So they look at it and say, no, there really isn't a material change. And the statistician part of me, I've actually gone back and looked at the modeling. And so if you look at the time period from 1950 to present, the range of deaths per thousand has been from about 8.1 deaths to about 9.5 deaths per thousand over that entire period. And it's actually been on the rise every year since 2009. Hmm. So we've actually seen a very steady increase in death. Now, part of that, I believe, is just the aging population of the U.S. Now, the other thing is that rate that we have, which in, just prior to COVID, so in 2019, our death rate was about 8.8 per thousand. And there were several, what I would call modern developed countries. You know, for instance, the UK was at 9.4, Italy was at 10.7, Germany was at 11.5. So those are the deaths per thousand rates within those population bases. And so we don't know the final rate for 2020 yet, but I'm seeing numbers between like 9.5 and 10.5. So you might see a slight spike in that number relative to what the trend line would have been, but it's actually quite minor. And when looked at globally, it's still well within the parameters of developed countries. So going back to the insurance companies, it's fairly apparent that they're looking at this situation as essentially within the norms of the statistical probabilities of their models.
Yeah, there's an adage, the old adage, right, that follow the money. I guess that's part of what we're seeing here, is that when it comes to money, if you track industries that essentially are built upon the idea of mortality, they are probably the best reflection in terms of what's actually going on out there.
I think what it says is that if you are in the general population, you're under 70, you're not obese, which by the way clearly is the number one factor, you don't have any material change in your mortality rate. Now, Could COVID hit you and you could get sick? Sure. I don't think I am or anybody is seriously denying the existence of the disease. But the fear that has been projected on society about mortality has been grossly, grossly exaggerated.
I think that's just a wonderful report we have from Ben Swan and from this expert in insurance modeling and statistics, Danny. How does it strike you?
Well, yeah, sir. I mean, he's talking about the overall deaths and what's going on with the COVID deaths. And, insurance companies have to monitor this because the money is tied to it. It's a It's a multi-billion dollar industry. I know several people in the insurance business, and it just doesn't make sense, sir. The numbers aren't adding up. Things are just not as we're being told.
I think that's exactly right, Danny. And nevertheless, the censorship continues. Here you have YouTube censoring DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who brought together a group of experts to discuss this. YouTube's removed a video of a public health roundtable hosted by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis with a panel of scientists and researchers who challenged the effectiveness of COVID-19 lockdowns and masks. What could be more relevant, Danny, to the public than to have a discussion of these issues and the ups and the downs, the pros and the cons, but YouTube won't allow it. The roundtable took place at the state capitol in Tallahassee on March 18th, featuring former White House coronavirus advisor Scott Atlas, epidemiologist Professor Sentra Gupta, and researchers Dr. Jay Bhattacharya and Dr. Martin Koldorf, all of whom are eminently qualified, discussing how public health measures adopted during the pandemic to mitigate the spread of the virus, including quarantining healthy people, shutting businesses down, and mandating mask wearing, were inspired in part by fear rather than by scientific evidence. Indeed, what I would say, Danny, were inspired by politics and had virtually nothing to do with an actual medical emergency. Jeffrey Tucker, this is not Carlson, Tucker Carlson, Jeffrey Tucker, writing for the American Institute for Economic Research, was the first to notice YouTube had taken it down. With no warning, no announcement, no explanation, YouTube on April 7th suddenly deleted the entire video from its platform. Tucker, not again, not Carlson, harshly criticized YouTube's action. When the CDC and WHO began to contradict themselves on many issues, including immunities and their source, YouTube took a different direction, curating the science themselves and deleting any video its employees didn't like. Danny, this is completely outrageous because YouTube doesn't have any qualifications. It doesn't have scientists and medical experts on its payroll. This is pure blatant political censorship. And of course, we know they have been favoring the left. They've been censoring Trump, conservative views, or even my own videos and discussions about Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. We'll be right back with the Power Hour here at Revolution. Danny, we have the chance here to have a few more words of conversation before we come back on the air. So give me your thoughts about what's going on here.
You know, Dr. Fetzer, I see censoring on YouTube that is so over the top and ridiculous. It's like a thought crime. It doesn't matter if you're talking about, you know, any of the violence on the street, or you're talking about, you know, the coronavirus, or a doctor's coming on and trying to talk about a cure or a treatment.
Listen to Revolution Radio at
freedomslips.com. People that are getting ill, right, they take the video down. And I'm thinking, why would YouTube not want the general public to hear a medical doctor explaining to everyone the success that he's having? He's not explaining that, you know, people are not getting well. He's actually touting the success.
My husband would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, and that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in the dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet.
Any of these doctors that get posted, they take the links down, they take the thread down, they take the story down. And I keep saying, why?
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Yeah, we're being subjected to the greatest barrage of
propaganda. Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either," available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We know, of course, that his policies had been so successful with the Keystone Pipeline. He actually secured American energy independence with his increase in the economy. Everyone was thriving. The lowest working wage-earning employees were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate, such that Rasmussen already in 2019 December was reporting that 40% of black likely voters were going to support Donald Trump. I think that sent a shiver through the Democratic Party, Danny, and they knew they had to do something drastic. And it turns out now, we know from the massive vote fraud that's been further unearthed and confirmed again and again in the various states, that they had a plan to make sure Donald Trump didn't win another election where they rigged it 100%. But it's just disgusting to me that a major political party in the United States should
the
put
opinions
the
expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio.
Okay, stand by, Danny. We're coming right back.
Your host.
Once again, Power Hour Nation, this is Jim Fetzer sitting in for Daniel. Let me remind you of some of the key considerations here about this pandemic where we've been so massively misled. The SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been isolated. Well, if you haven't isolated the virus, then you can't possibly develop a vaccine. So what do we actually have? The vaccines they're promoting, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, do not cure the virus. They only suppress symptoms. This is how they could bring it out so fast. It doesn't actually cure you. So you remain capable of transmission. Many of you think that if you get the virus, you've been cured, but it's not true. This is why Fauci is insisting we have to continue to wear our masks, a point to which I shall return. These are not traditional vaccines, which operate, are efficacious because they introduce a weak strain of the threat, to which your body then develops immunities, antibodies. But that's not what they do. These use mRNA, which performs the feat of gene splicing it actually changes your DNA. I had the benefit of featuring Dr. Judy Mikovits on last Wednesday's show, a combined broadcast of the Raw Deal with the Wisdom Circle on Revolution Radio. And the question I asked her right out of the gate was, Judy, I have received reports that this mRNA changes your immune system and actually makes you vulnerable to threats that in the past you would have been able to shrug off. And that I've also heard reports that it turns your body into a protein manufacturer, particularly prions, these devastating proteins that eat holes in the brains of cows and produce mad cow disease. So we're going to get an analog of mad man disease or mad human disease. And she confirmed that I was correct. This is, of course, extremely troubling. And it means the risks of the vaccines are greater than the risks from the virus, which, as we're hearing from the insurance industry, appear to be minimal. They're not making a difference. If you go all the way back to that early report I did on the coronavirus phenomenon back in 2020, I was already showing how European mortality rates for a dozen or more European nations similarly did not show any increase in death, which means the claim that there was a huge spike in death as a consequence was a fabrication. It was fake news. And where many of you may be aware that while last year there were 38 million cases of the flu, today, this year, they're reporting fewer than 2,000. What do you think? We just lost, nearly 3 million cases of the flu just disappeared. No, they've just reclassified them as COVID to, you know, this medical fear porn. It's outrageous. And bear in mind, the FDA has actually never approved any of these vaccines, only on an emergency basis. So if you hear that the FDA has approved these vaccines, they've only done so in the qualified sense. They haven't approved them for their safety. They've only approved them for their emergency use. And Fauci, of course, to whom I refer as Tony the Rat, has declared that even if you're vaccinated, you still need to wear a mask. He's not talking about one mask. He's talking about wearing two or three, which is absurd on multiple grounds. Number one, the masks weren't going to help you to begin with because they can only filter out particles that are 0.3 microns or larger, whereas the virus is only 0.1 micron. And where, in addition, Fauci himself knows, because he and his colleagues did a study of the Spanish flu and even published a report about it, where they discovered that the Spanish flu, the vast number of deaths, where this brought about tens of millions of deaths worldwide, were not caused by the flu, but were caused by bacterial pneumonia. And where it just turns out that bacterial pneumonia infections are promoted by wearing face masks. Danny, this man is savage. And I declare again, he is going to go down as the greatest mass murderer in history. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts on Fauci is he's nothing more than a deep state puppet. You know, I often wonder what they have on this guy that they would get him to come out and, mislead the population as he's done. You know, Dr. Fetzer, he changes his mind constantly. One minute you see him giving an interview where you don't need a mask. Then he said, well, now you need a mask. Now you need two masks. He goes back and forth constantly. He's not consistent. He's not reliable. He's just not credible. And anybody listening to that guy at this point, when you have all these other research doctors coming out, as you pointed out, Dr. Mikovits, hundreds of other doctors like her pointing to either HCQ and many of the other types of treatments that have been developed for this, he just won't acknowledge it. There's actually something wrong with him. And I don't know if there's something wrong. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's being controlled. It's a matter of who's controlling him. We have pictures of him with Bill Gates, hanging out with Bill Gates. I mean, I think the public can generally see what's going on, sir, at this point, that we're being misled by a small group of people that obviously want people to get sicker and don't want them to get any better.
Well, Danny, when you have this Biden-Harris administration encouraging wearing face masks, wanting to move for, you know, mandating vaccinations if they can do it, you have to ask, whose interest are they promoting? Because they're obviously not promoting the interests of the American people. Similarly, during our border crisis, I published a piece as an open letter to President Trump that the migrants that the Biden administration is now busing into red states, as many as 30,000, Danny, turn out to be young men of military age. They look very fit. They have close-cropped haircuts. Based upon my experience as a Marine Corps officer, when I take a look, these appear to be unarmed military, and they're being bused to various red states and other locations within the United States where they could be readily provided with arms and provide a guerrilla force that could compromise the ability of the United States to defend itself. I mean, Danny, 30,000, that's equivalent to three Army divisions. So what in the world is the Biden administration doing here? And of course, as we know, these people aren't being tested for COVID. It's not just a catch and release. It's a catch and bus policy that's completely outrageous unless you believe there's a deeper agenda at work or something far more sinister, which many have suggested that in a cartoon, for example, a reporter asked this pesky woman, you know, the press secretary, what would it require for the Biden administration to declare the border situation a crisis? And she said, well, if it turned out that they were going to register to vote Republican, and I think that's part of the problem. The Democrats want to change the demographics. Now, here we have, from an unusual source, the Anti-Defamation League, that immigration has a high fertility rate of minorities would lead to a catastrophic great replacement. This is pretty damn interesting, published in the Oons Review. Has made it a racial issue in relation to the state of Israel as the national homeland of the Jewish people. Listen to this. The proposal of a binational state or a one-state solution is nothing less than an indirect attempt to bring about an end to the state of Israel as a national homeland of the Jewish people. A binational state in principle and in practice would mean the ideological end of the Jewish state of Israel and lead to the forsaking of Jewish nationalism and identity, along with its special status as a refuge for Jews fleeing persecution. Furthermore, binationalism is unworkable given current realities and historic animosities, with historically high birth rates among the Palestinians and a possible influx of Palestinian refugees and their descendants now living around the world. Jews would quickly become a minority within a binational state, thus likely ending any semblance of equal representation and protection. In this situation, the Jewish population would be increasingly politically and potentially physically vulnerable. Well, this is pretty damn fascinating, Danny, if you think about the United States. And guess what? We have a parallel here. 44% of French population growth has been driven by migration. That was in 2017. Since 2006, the proportion of non-migrants adding to the country's overall population saw a downward trend as...
You have reached the Benton County Sheriff's Department non-emergency line. Press 1 for the jail. Press 2 for dispatch. Calls are answered.
Principles. Here are some of the tweets. Ron Murphy. The problem for political lifers like Joe is that there's a lot of video evidence of them to choose from when they say stupid things.
Put more judges on there that will do what they say.
and that would completely destroy the Constitution and destroy our court system as we know it. I mean, we already have corruption we saw at an amazing level through the election. Everybody is extremely already upset at the court and their non-action during the election. But to suggest to put more judges on there, and how many more judges do we need? You know, every judge they add, if they keep adding, they're going to dilute it. It's going to end up looking like the Ninth Circuit, you know, out of California. And we know how they rule with their rulings. I mean, it'll end up looking like a banana republic. And of course, it is a bonehead idea. It was stupid back then. It's stupid now. And again, I just believe, sir, that the globalist Donald Trump, you know, was set us on a really good path. We had record everything, period. And they're just literally coming in here as fast as they can and trying to set fire to everything that he's done, and set fire to everything in America, completely destroy it, from the migrants coming in using the third world, destroying the courts, from the false flags to go after gun rights. I mean, we're under attack under so many different levels. It's just amazing that the Democrats don't see this, or any Democrat supporters, for that matter, don't see what's going on, sir.
Danny, it is absolutely astonishing. It's like they want to turn the United States inside out, upside down. Black is white, false is true, doublespeak, 1984, we are you, we are here. And it's outrageous, where Biden is so clearly cognitively incompetent. The situation is unbelievably bad. In fact, you have Biden also issuing executive actions to fight gun crime epidemic. Quoted by CNN, gun violence in this country is an epidemic, going so far as to describe it as an international embarrassment. But what's the international embarrassment, Danny, is the Biden administration, with incompetence, a man who's cognitively impaired as president, a feeble representative, and a vice president who's missing in action. She was designated to be the point man for the administration on the border, and she is nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be heard. Biden's issued these executive orders, actually properly executive actions, about red flag laws, ignoring that red flag laws were already in Colorado since January 1st of 2020, but did nothing to hinder or prevent the Boulder attack, which was, of course, completely staged, as we've thoroughly explained. Others about AR pistols with stabilizers. His claims about background checks at gun shows turn out to be false, but fact checkers have checked it out. Most people don't know it. If you walk into a store, you can buy a gun, have a background check. But if you go to a gun show, you can buy whatever you want with no background check. But that's not true. In federal law, commercial sales of guns have to be performed by an individual who then has to perform a mandatory check of a buyer and record of sale, regardless of whether it occurred as a seller's place of business, a gun show, or elsewhere. Mike literally doesn't know what he's talking about. And Danny, while these are being reported by the media as executive orders, they are not, as I shall explain when we come back to the Power Hour. Thank you. We'll be here with Danny Cirrus.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. How you doing? Sorry about those technical difficulties. We're going to get to Power Hour back on here in a second. They're getting ready to come out of their break right now with Dr. James Fetzer and Danny Cirrus. So I hope y'all are having a great day out there in these trying times. And we have Studio A. We have Maggie with Concord Show, and bringing you news and information. Hopefully, they'll these guys will be coming out of break in a second. They've got a commercial playing, so I guess I'll talk to you for a second. Yes, don't take that COVID vaccine. I was reading this morning that the South African strain likes people that had the virus, had the vaccine better. Isn't that a hell of a thing, huh? So you get vaxxed and then you get sick. Yeah. That's a hell of a thing. So they've done a study of the South African variant and found that the those who take the Pfizer shot get sicker at a higher rate than people who weren't sick, probably because it's screwed up their immune system so bad. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's the truth. The COVID death toll, you know that story. Everybody and their brother died of COVID. And you can be have COVID, designated to have COVID, when, you know, it's just your neighbor's nephew's cousin, niece's uncle. Yeah, I mean, if they were going to say who's COVID, wouldn't they use the West Virginia relative test? Yeah. Anyway. Oh, they still got another break coming there. It's another big pharma break. Yeah, so, hey, think about that. Shouldn't they use the West Virginia relative tracing and tracking model? Not this one where if somebody got sick across the street, every person in the houses that surround that house on the block are, you know, considered COVID victims. You know that? Yeah. I mean, if you go to a school and one person in a classroom gets sick, everybody in the school is considered COVID more than likely because they breathe the same air somewhere or the same exhalation. But anyway, oh, they got a long break here. I wish those guys would call me back. But anyway, I hope you're having a great day. God bless you, man. Thanks for tuning in. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Don't forget, we're listener supported, commercial free. So come on down there, become a member of our Patreon team. You have donor box for donations from overseas. You can donate crypto if you like. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, you can become a member of our Patreon team. That really helps us out a lot. So come on down and join us and help Revolution Radio stay alive. We can change the world in this time of universal deceit. Telling the truth is one of the most patriotic things you can do. Liberals believe that. We believe that. So let's get the truth out here. I think they're going to get ready to start here. Hopefully. Check my feed.
This is Jim Fetzer once again, who is a huge fan of Joyce Riley. I've long admired the Power Hour, and I have great respect for the Power Hour Nation, with my featured guest today, Danny Siras, whose extensive background in law enforcement provides an invaluable perspective on many of the issues we confront today. Before we hit the break, I was explaining that while the media is describing these efforts by Biden as executive orders, they actually turn out to be executive actions. Here's the difference. A good way to think of executive actions is a wish list of policies a president would like to see enacted. But even the Obama White House acknowledged most of the executive actions. These executive actions, really all of them, carry no legal weight. The use of executive actions by the president of the United States came under intense scrutiny during Barack Obama's two terms in office. Many critics misunderstood the definition of executive actions and the difference with legally binding executive orders. Obama issued dozens of executive actions designed to prevent gun violence in January of 2016, fulfilling one of his primary agenda items. Many of the media, however, mistakenly describe them as official executive orders, which are legally binding directives from the president to federal administrative agencies. The Obama administration, however, properly characterized them as executive actions. And those executive actions ranging from universal background checks, restoring a ban on military-style assault weapons, which the AR-15 is not, and cracking down on straw purchases of guns by persons intending to resell to criminals, carried none of the weight of executive orders. Not only that, but we know that the racial distribution of crime in the United States is not being reported, not being acknowledged by the Biden-Harris administration. The overwhelming majority of gun crimes in the United States are committed by blacks on blacks. Take Chicago as a prime example. For another illustration, look at New York City crime statistics for 2014, broken down in terms of black, Hispanic, white, and other. In terms of shooting, in New York City, arrests for violent crime, 75% black, 22% Hispanic. That's already 97%. White, only 1.4%. Murder, 62% black, 32% Hispanic. That's already 94% black or Hispanic for murder. Rape, Hispanic 46, black 43. That's already 89% of the rapes, only 6% white. Such that if New York City were all white, rapes would drop by 83%, murder by 91%, shooting by 96%. Meanwhile, we're hearing so much about blacks being killed by whites that we don't realize, the public isn't given to understand, that that's a relatively rare occurrence. If you look, for example, at statistics, murder of blacks and whites in 2013 per million member of the murderer's race, there are approximately 55 per million for blacks killed by blacks. There were less than 10 per million of whites killed by blacks, slightly over 10 per million of whites killed by whites. But get this, blacks killed by whites, less than 1 per million, less than 1 per million. And yet that's what Black Lives Matter is protesting. My brilliant colleague, Dr. Ewan, who like myself is a retired university professor, superimposed a 2016 electoral map over a 2014 murder distribution map. And guess what? Lo and behold, the murders are occurring almost exclusively, not quite, but predominantly in Democrat-controlled areas. Why? Because they're banning guns, because they're creating free fire zones, gun-free zones that mean only the perps have guns and the law-abiding citizens do not. So that, if you look at Southern California, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, Orlando area, and so forth, it's stunning how the statistics show that when you ban guns, crime goes up. And Danny, you're getting more deaths, more shootings of blacks on blacks in Chicago over the weekend than all of these fake stage shootings combined. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, my thoughts on gun crime, sir, I'm glad you pulled up those statistics because people don't want to hear that stuff. And you know what? I don't care what they want to hear anymore. We're out there telling them the truth. And the fact is, sir, they're letting felons out of jail at a record pace. The streets are filled with felons. I listen to the scanners all the time. I listen to them in major cities. I hear what's going on. I know who's committing the crime. Overwhelming, it's black crime. We have felons, sir, convicted violent felons walking the streets, and they're carrying firearms. And the globalists, the Democrats, are trying to say it's the American people that are doing this. Well, maybe they are American felons that are doing this, okay? But overwhelming, we have felons walking around the street committing these violent crimes with firearms. And that's what's going on. And they're turning around and releasing those people. The gun crime is going up because of this. And then they're simply trying to blame the law-abiding American citizen that's working for a living, that keeps his guns locked up, keeps his guns locked in a safe. They're trying to blame that group of people for the actions of these felons. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. People have woken up to this. They know what's going on. The media knows what's going on. They just don't want to go along with it. They just keep pounding the same old tired drum over and over again. I am sick and tired of them going after our guns. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I'm pretty sure the American people, sir, know what's going on here.
I do believe they're getting a better grasp upon it. By the way, a wise man in the Democratic Party, James Carville, is concerned about the Democrats pushing identity politics and cancel culture. Democrats will lose future races if they continue to embrace identity politics, cancel culture, and efforts to defund the police, said veteran Democrat strategist James Carville. Danny, they'd lose those elections assuming they were honest. That's a problem. We got to get rid of electronic voting machines, which have used to steal elections again and again. It's the thing I most worry about, Carville said in an interview with Bill Kristol. He was asked whether he was concerned about Democrats giving oxygen to the complex issue that allow Republicans to scream and yell about it for 2 years or 4 years and really have an effect. Quote, I don't know of a single person who thinks of themselves as a person of color, Carville said. I really don't. I had Ruben Gallego, who's a Democrat congressman from Arizona. We did much better in Arizona than we did in Texas or Florida. He said, I've never heard anybody use the word Latinx, and it's just not the way people talk. That's not what they, it's just not the way. When people hear that, and it's a little different because when you're in the middle of it, you hear it so much, it doesn't stand out. But when you're in the rest of the country, like the janitor at Smith College, I got to tell you, I'm a supportive, ardent Democrat, passionate in everything. But the English faculty at Amherst has too much power in this party. They really do. And get this, Danny, as I was mentioning before, liberal Boston Hospital to set up preferential treatment based on race with whites last, and they want to make this a national policy. A Boston hospital is set to offer preferential treatment to patients based on race. The proposed pilot initiative uses a reparations framework that focuses on Black and Latinx patients and community members and prioritizes their care. Brigham and Women's Hospital says it will offer preferential care based on race and race-explicit interventions in an attempt to engage in an anti-racist agenda for medicine based on critical race theory. Danny, this is disgusting beyond words. Meanwhile, the majority of Americans believe the fake news media is in the tank for Joe Biden because they are and don't even hide it. Trump was right. The liberal media may be more dishonest than the Biden porn family. Fake media won't even report Joe Biden's obvious dementia. Even foreign reporters are mentioning it. Distrust of political news reporting remains high. More than half voters believe the media are in the tank for President Biden. The latest Rasmussen report showed likely U.S. voters trust the political news. Only 33% trust the news they're getting. Most, 53%, do not. 14% are unsure. It's no surprise the fake news continues to lose the trust of the American people. Pravda would blush at their tactics. And I've observed, you know, you can find more truth in Pravda or Russia Today or Sputnik News than you can in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the major networks, Danny. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, that, you know, the propaganda, sir, is just, it's off the hook. I mean, my mind is spinning. You know, it's everywhere. We're under attack for everything. And the way I see it, sir, is basically they're trying to get a race war started. That's what I see. I see misreporting by the media constantly when it becomes crime. I mean, just constantly not telling the story. There were so many incidences this weekend alone where the media, when I saw the report on television, is not what the official report says. It's just constant barrage over and over again of misreporting, especially when it comes to people of color. I don't understand why they can't get the story right. I mean, I know why they're doing it. They're propagandizing us to try and get people upset. There's no doubt about it. But it's getting worse by the day, sir. And that's, you know, I'm just glad we have the internet. I'm glad we have people like you that are out there telling the truth to the American people on what's going on. There's a lot of great hosts on the internet, and I'm very grateful for to each and every one of them. And we just have to keep fighting and getting the truth out to the American people so they can see what's going on.
Danny, this country is founded on equal justice under the law, equal treatment. You know, the phrase "all men are created equal," it really doesn't mean each of us individually. Some are taller, shorter, thicker, thinner, smarter, dumber. The whole host and variety of abilities means it's literally false that all men are created equal. What is meant there, all men are created equal in their moral worth. All men are created equal in their right to be treated with respect. All men are created equal in their entitlement to equal justice under the law. And yet look how the Democrats are seeking to pervert that by using critical race theory to create anti-white racism in the United States. I mean, how many laws do we have against discrimination on the basis of race? And now the Democrats are wholesale violating those laws against discrimination and actively promoting it, right down to this absurd liberal hospital that's going to, as a form of reparation, treat Black and Latinos first for medical treatment when it should be based on need. You treat the people who are most in need of medical treatment, not those who are have one color of skin or another. I mean, this is as disgusting as it gets, Danny.
Well, it's a severe form of racism. I think they're just testing the public there with that story at the hospital. Thank God that all hospitals don't act like that, sir, or we'd be in real serious trouble. But again, when it comes to law enforcement, sir, we are all need to be treated the same, you know, and I don't know if we're going to get into it or not today, but, you know, there's a set of rules that we all abide by when we're out on the streets, and especially in regarding the police. And you know what? We all have to follow those rules to have a polite society. But if we get one group that gets special privileges and they have to stop paying attention to the police, or they don't have to stop, or they don't have to, you know, follow all the traffic laws or what have you, that's when chaos breaks out. And that's exactly what we're seeing, sir. We're seeing one or two groups of people that think that they don't have to abide by the law. You know what? They don't have to follow what the police say. They don't have to follow the laws. And that is causing a massive, massive problem. And the Democrats seem to be lockstep with this. You know, they seem to be supporting this. I keep seeing these incidences around the country of these conflicts with police that can easily be avoided. But yet it's almost like it was ramped up on purpose. It's really getting tiring, sir. It's over the top. Actually, it's just over the top.
Danny, I couldn't agree more. And of course, the case that began it all, the purported death of George Floyd at the hands of a white policeman in Minneapolis, has been receiving the most coverage of any trial since O.J. Simpson, where I watched every minute. I actually recorded every minute of that trial. I actually blew a sabbatical. And it was just astonishing to me. And now we have all these developments with all this conflicting testimony. I think there are good reasons to believe it's going to be impossible for the jury to find Derek Chauvin guilty of second or third or even non-negligent homicide under these circumstances. Let me explain. The prosecutor's case is falling apart. George Floyd's drug dealer, who was in the car with him, had refused to testify, but the judge has carved out an exception to allow him to testify only certain parts so he won't incriminate himself. He doesn't want to testify. Without immunity, he could be charged for Floyd's death since he supplied him with the drugs that contributed to his untimely death. Plus, evidence of Floyd's drug use is causing the prosecutor's case to fall apart. It's no longer just about a knee on the neck, but a larger narrative the mainstream media continues to ignore. Danny, even the knee on the neck is being questioned because the judge has determined, given the defense evidence, that the knee wasn't actually on his neck. So they're having to talk about the neck-associated area instead. Meanwhile, the question of causation is crucial here. At a minimum, of course, we know Floyd was not the hero the media sought to make him. A person under the influence, moreover, may have other factors causing his death than an officer's knee, and it begins to raise reasonable doubt. Get this, for example, Danny. We have a Black Lives Matter activist worrying all hell is going to break loose if Chauvin is not convicted. This is a model, a Black Lives activist, Maya Echols, who was captured in a photograph down in Atlanta during the protests last summer, who's also a signed model with IMG Worldwide, warned in a recent TikTok video, cities will burn if Officer Chauvin is not convicted. Maya Echols, if George Floyd's murderer is not sentenced, and notice how she begs the question, the real issue is, did he commit murder or not commit murder? She's not willing to wait to see the determination of the court. She knows the answer already. Just know that all hell is going to break loose. Don't be surprised when buildings are on fire. The autopsy, however, on Floyd found he had meth, fentanyl, cannabinoids, and morphine in his system. He was also COVID positive. And get this, his defense attorney has played a clip where you see Floyd saying, "I ate too many drugs." The clip was presented during the cross-examination of L.A. Police Sergeant Jody Steiger, a paid witness for the state, who claims no force should have been used on Floyd. Well, that's contradicted by the Minneapolis police force training, Danny, which includes putting a knee on the neck to subdue a victim, where the knee in this case wasn't even on his neck. Defense attorney Eric Nelson countered that Floyd was saying, "I can't breathe," while resisting being put into the cop car before Chauvin's knee was anywhere near him. If somebody's saying, "I can't breathe," and they're passing out, they're not resisting, that's one form of an analysis, right? Because the actions of the suspect are consistent with the verbal utterances he's making, right? Other times, and in this particular case, when he was initially saying he couldn't breathe, he was actively resisting arrest initially when he was in the backseat of the vehicle, right? And I've observed this myself again and again and again. The defense also played a clip of Floyd admitting eating too many drugs. He added the rowdy scene caused a heightened sense of awareness for the officers. When asked whether he could make out what Floyd was saying in the clip, Steiger said he could not. But I listened to it, Danny. He clearly said he ate too many drugs. We have the toxicology report with all his methamphetamines, fentanyl, cannabinoids. I mean, I'm telling you, he had enough drugs in himself to kill a man, and it appears that may be exactly what happened here. The point I'm making is, apparently, Floyd, because he was being arrested in the process of having drugs in his possession he was going to sell, actually consumed them instead, not realizing he was causing his imminent death. One of the effects, of course, of a drug overdose is your respiratory system starts to collapse. So that he was saying, "I can't breathe," 18 different times, including before he was even pushed in the squad car, while he was in the squad car, as well as thereafter. I think under these circumstances, Danny, it's going to be impossible for the jury to conclude Chauvin was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, because there is a reasonable alternative explanation, namely he died from the drug overdose. And while Chauvin may have been inappropriate in the duration of which he was subduing the suspect, he's not therefore guilty of murder beyond a reasonable doubt. Danny.
Well, sir, my thoughts on this are, you know what my thoughts are. We've covered this ad nauseam. This whole thing is a false flag. So to even go into this, I don't believe any of this nonsense that's going on. This is just, this whole thing is designed to cause civil unrest and start these riots in the first place from the beginning. You know, when they say cities are going to burn if this guy isn't convicted, I mean, who the hell are they to even say that, sir? Can you imagine if a group of white people got together, say a militia, and threatened and said, "Hey, if this doesn't happen, we're going to take action." You know what I mean? It's the same thing. When you have a group of people that's coming out and threatening to light fires or burn a city down or whatever, that should be a strong call to action to the American people that we have a serious problem with a group of people that believes that they can come out and threaten the American public.
We'll be right back with Danny Cera. Stand by.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I hope you're doing good. Hey, and we're quite, not quite back. Got about 20 seconds, 30 seconds coming back in from the power hour break. This should be the last clip, but I'm not sure. Let's see. Here we at. Are we coming back? I had to come back to a big pharma promo. Here it is.
This is Jim Fetzer sitting in for Daniel once again. Just delighted to be back with the Power Hour Nation with my sidekick, Danny Siris. We were just talking about the George Floyd trial and why it looks highly unlikely the jury could possibly find Derek Chauvin guilty of second or third degree murder, because there's an alternative explanation that appears very reasonable, namely that his body was just loaded with drugs. The defense attorney even presented a video clip where you can see George Floyd saying, "I ate too many drugs." And it turns out that he and his drug dealer were actually, you know, supplying him with drugs he was going to sell on the street. And when the police came to arrest him, he swallowed the evidence, not thinking it through, having the effects of devastating his system with which was loaded with fentanyl, cannabinoids, opiates. I mean, this is very serious. And where his talk about being unable to breathe began even before he was put into the squad car, continued while he was in the squad car and thereafter, which, of course, is one of the symptoms of a drug overdose. Your respiratory system starts to close down and you can't breathe. So that's pretty fascinating stuff. Danny and I both believe that they're going to therefore have a not guilty verdict because they can't establish this to have occurred beyond reasonable doubt. And Danny, I'm already getting some reports that there are preliminary hassles going on in the streets of Minneapolis. It seems to me after last summer, everyone in the world, not just in the United States, not just in Minneapolis, Portland, and Seattle, is aware of the prospect of riots. So one would have thought they'd prepare with additional law enforcement to take care of the matter, even invoking the National Guard. Why do I think that the Democrats are going to betray their own citizens, the residents of their own cities, and not do that even if this happens all over again? As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again.
Well, I think, sir, what's going to happen is they want the riots. And my personal belief is the whole get rid of the police thing or cutting the police back is to force the public to take action on their own. And here's what I mean by that. The public is limited, sir. They can't take action like the police because they're not trained. They don't have tasers and, you know, handcuffs and jails and ways to place people in custody. They don't have the training. The only thing the American public has is firearms, okay, which is a deadly threat. And I believe they don't want the police because they want the criminals running around rampant, and they want people to pull out their firearms, and they want them to start using them on these rioters. That's what I believe. When somebody comes to burn your house down with a torch, and they're standing out there getting ready to throw a Molotov cocktail into your house, okay, and you shoot them, okay, and you drop, you know, and they fall down on the ground because they're about ready to burn their house, and now they want to arrest the homeowner for how dare you not let the poor black man burn your house down. Okay. That's the, we're being set up for that, sir. And that's exactly what they want. And I believe again that this show trial, that this Derek Chauvin is going to be let go. He's going to be found not guilty, whatever you want to say, in their show trial. And that's going to give an excuse for the globalists to operate or launch, George Floyd operation number two, and they're going to try to go back to burning businesses down. But I believe this time, sir, we're going to see real bullets instead of rubber bullets, because when they go into the neighborhoods and they start to go after people's homes and things like that, the guns are going to come out and we're going to start seeing dead bodies on the street. And then the globalists and the Democrats are going to say, see, white people are shooting poor black people for simply protesting and trying to burn their houses down. That's exactly what we're going to say. We're heading to it. Mark my words. And then they're going to attack the Second Amendment, and they're going to say we have to take everybody's gun because we can't have people shooting all these rioters just because they're trying to burn your house down. That's where this is going, sir.
That's fascinating. Fascinating. So they defund the police so the police can't enforce the law when citizens defend themselves, which are entitled to do. It's held against them, and the grounds for gun confiscation. Americans, Danny, are not going to give up their guns. And, of course, we wouldn't be in this plight today if Donald Trump were still in office. Get this. Voter fraud expert says he was bribed $10 million to stay quiet about 2020. When Jovan Pulitzer gained fame for testifying before state legislatures about voter fraud, he was heavily attacked by mainstream media and Democrats. They tried to discredit him in the hope that nobody would look at his astounding work demonstrating how voter fraud was perpetrated during the 2020 election. When that didn't work, they tried a different attempt. In a recent interview with David Clements on The Professor's Record, that's a show, Pulitzer revealed something only his inner circle had previously heard. When bullying didn't work, they attempted to bribe him. So you know how bad this is. I'm going to give you a nugget that nobody outside my inner circle knows. I got offered $10 million not to do it. He let the bombshell sink in and then added, I have no price. It can't be done. This is about America. There isn't enough money in America to turn us communists and sell out America. I'll take a bullet to the head, and maybe that's what's waiting for me. Pulitzer's rise to fame during the aftermath of the 2020 election steal was not his first. He's been in and out of public life for the better part of three decades with inventions and patents that have helped shape the world in which we live today. Along the way, he's made a splash in technology and media. But one can argue his most important contribution to the world is his effort to correct the 2020 election. There may be a fruit or benefits arising in the near future. Various attempts to perform audits for which his machines may be used are starting to gain traction across the country. It prompted our EIC to write a post detailing how it can all come together for a constitutional solution to the problem at hand. The Constitution does not offer a direct remedy for a situation in which a presidential election is deemed fraudulent after the fact. The Supreme Court may use its wide powers to fix things, but that seems very unlikely even with a so-called conservative lean in five of the nine justices. If we learned anything in the last year or so, is that we cannot and must not rely on government or the judiciary to make things happen. They are heading in the wrong direction across the board. This is a nation of free people who must stand up. As the saying goes, every man has his price, but Jovan Pulitzer isn't just any man. He made a decision many would find challenging to pass on a tremendous amount of money for the sake of fighting for our nation's future. Danny, I find that very, very encouraging. But of course, it only reinforces what we also have, by the way, from Mike Lindell, who's released a new documentary, 58 minutes in length, where he has a brilliant physicist who is studying the 2010 census and discovered that it was precisely the 2010 census that was used as a template to steal the election to manufacture the outcome in virtually every state in the nation. He discovered that the census, if you graph it in terms of the various variables, has peaks and valleys of different shapes and forms. But the fact is that the voter registration reported for each of the states has the same peaks and valleys, and that the vote the actual ballots cast has the same distribution of peaks and valleys. This is preposterous, leading him to conclude that this had to be done using an algorithm implemented by a computer program in artificial intelligence. Danny, it's devastating. I want everyone here to know it's available also on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. So we're not lacking proof that the election was stolen. But I think the problem remains what to do about it. Danny, your thoughts.
Well, sir, everyone knows the election was stolen. I mean, we have county after county after county in multiple states where more people voted than or even lived there, or registered. That alone tells you that there's massive fraud. That's been going on in California for years. And the big problem, sir, has always been there's no enforcement. The Democrats have certain judges in key positions in place to always block any kind of an audit or anything to take place, especially in California, I've noticed, and other Democrat states, not just California, where there's no audit allowed. You know, it's like they come out of the voting room, the electronic voting room, they yell out, "Hear ye, hear ye, the Democrats won, it was closed, better luck next time," and you can't go into the room and look around. It's really getting that comical with the voting machines. There's no way to change it. I think the American people are growing really tired of it. That's also tied to this gun control. They know people's blood is boiling all around the country. Perhaps they're in fear of militias forming and taking action, which is why they're going after the guns. I'm not sure on the timing of that, of course. But again, this voter fraud thing is rampant. I myself am very grateful for Mike Lindell for constantly pointing this out, giving the American people the proof. Thank God we see states passing laws to try and prevent this from happening in the future. But what we're seeing, sir, is a lack of enforcement from our courts. Why are the courts not taking action? Are they being threatened? Do they have a gun to their head? Are they being blackmailed? I mean, people are waking up to this. We have a corrupt system, sir, that needs to be overhauled and changed. The courts need to take action. They should have overturned this a long time ago. We shouldn't have gone this far down the road. We can only hope that something is still going to happen, but we don't know. But it is quite the life that we live right now with corruption at an all-time high when it comes to election fraud.
Danny, I think you got it exactly right. I want to report on developments that I find utterly fascinating. This may be the most intriguing story I've encountered in the last several years, without much doubt. Putin, Merkel agree. Mysterious deaths of Great Reset overlords linked to Prince Charles. Not coincidence. Now, this is coming from a source, Sorcia Fall, that I've been repeatedly told is supposed to be disinformation. But the fact is, I've looked at the links that are here to support it, and it all appears to be accurate to me. So I believe now that the attempts to discredit this source may themselves have been the disinformation. Get this. There was a conversation between Vladimir Putin and Angela Merkel. Chancellor of Germany and President of Russia, of course, agreeing that mysterious deaths of close socialist globalist allies of Prince Charles, Sir Richard Sutton, and Petra Kellner are not coincidental, which in turn strongly suggests the deaths are targeted killing sent as a message of those who are advocating for the Great Reset. Listen to this. We know that Prince Charles has been promoting the Great Reset forever. Here we have a presentation he gave to the World Economic Forum back in June of 2020, outlining a 5-point plan to rebuild economies following a global recession. The 71-year-old prince said the pandemic was a result of a breakdown in the humanity major that could be corrected by recognizing the interdependence of all living things. Well, that's pretty peculiar. That's kind of nice sounding language when he's going to introduce an agenda to deprive us of all of our property and all of our assets in return for a stipend and the opportunity to rent a cubicle, because all of our homes will be owned by the masters of the globe, whose agenda is to take control of the entirety of planet Earth. He said, this is now Prince Charles, the pandemic, which has forced governments worldwide to mothball their economics, had shown people dramatic change is possible. We have a golden opportunity to see something good from this crisis. Its unprecedented shockwaves may well make people more receptive to big visions of change. He gave a 5-point general outline about economic recovery, advancing zero net transitions globally, reinvigorating science, technology, and innovation. But believe me, the bottom line is to promote the Great Reset, a project involving the World Economic Forum and the Prince of Wales Sustainable Markets Initiative. Now, I mentioned the conversation between Merkel and Putin. It was translated into both Russian and German because it notes they were speaking in German. Here's the best account of what they were saying. In English, Merkel. Prince Charles lost another one, Putin. That makes two, Merkel. The first was his favorite, you know, Putin. Yes, I have been informed. Merkel, this is not a coincidence, Putin. We know that too. The context surrounding this remarkable exchange sees Prince Charles being a main proponent of the Great Reset socialist globalist agenda, two of whose staunchest socialist globalist allies were Britain's richest man, Sir Richard Sutton, and Petr Kellner, the wealthiest man in the Czech Republic, where Charles first met Kellner when he visited the Czech Republic in 1991. And in 2009, saw Charles leading the effort to select Kellner as a young global leader of the World Economic Forum. A fortnight ago, on 27 March, it was reported that Petr Kellner was killed in a mysterious helicopter crash in Alaska. Then yesterday, it was reported that Sir Richard Sutton was mysteriously stabbed to death at his home in the west of England, where those deaths have now been joined by the news that Prince Charles' father, Prince Philip, died in the hospital at the age of 99. Now, I have verified these reports of the death, and indeed, the information is accurate. Czech billionaire Petr Kellner is among five killed in Alaska crash. Here's another whodunit. London hotelier who is one of Britain's richest men killed at County Mansion. Sir Richard Sutton, who is worth £301 million, owned some of the most exclusive hotels in London. He was 83, spent most of his time at home in the west of England. A man suspected of murdering one of Britain's richest men is under police guard in a hospital. The multimillionaire company Sir Richard Sutton Limited put out a statement. We are deeply saddened and devastated by the sudden death of Sir Richard Sutton. Fascinating stuff. To repeat the report from Social Fall, the significance of President Putin and Chancellor Merkel both agreeing that the mysterious deaths of close Prince Charles socialist globalist allies Sir Richard Sutton and Petr Kellner are not coincidental is monumental, especially because it strongly suggests these deaths are targeted killings sent as a message to those advocating for the Great Reset and, as one would expect to occur, as this socialist globalist agenda seeks to remake the entire world and whose powerful forces opposing it will never allow happen, which is why President Putin warned these dangerous idiots at the World Economic Forum in a speech he gave recently there. The path they're walking on is exactly like that used in the 1930s, which led to World War II. Danny, I find this fascinating. It's also the case, by the way, that Prince Philip stated in the past, he made an observation in the past that I find completely fascinating. In the event that I am reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus in order to contribute something to solve overpopulation. Prince Philip, August 1988. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, sir, I'll try to be short because there's a lot to talk about. He's obviously a globalist, and he's a eugenicist, and he's a depopulationist. That's the way I see it. And you know what? I think Putin was right to point this out. There's several other world leaders pointing this out as well. You know, this isn't even nothing new with Prince Charles. This is happening all over the place. Everybody that goes against Hillary disappears. I mean, it's a never-ending thing. It's who knows where it's going to end. But I think it's a very astute observation. I agree with it 100%. And, you know, for him to come out and say, I'm going to return as a deadly virus. I mean, he's just part of that group, sir, that thinks that, you know, we have too many people on the planet. They refer to us as useless eaters. It says so, you know, in many of their writings. We have the Georgia Guidestones. I would encourage people to look at that online. It's a monument in Georgia that says they want to depopulate the earth and bring it down to 500 million. And it's done in so many different languages. The whole thing is right there, etched in a stone in Georgia. And he's just part of that movement, sir, and I agree with it 100%.
Well, Danny, what's fascinating, of course, is that this is blowback from the Great Reset. We have three of the most prominent supporters all meeting unusual, unexpected deaths in a short period of time. I find this utterly fascinating. And I believe it is sending a message to the advocates of the Great Reset that they're not going to have an easy time about it. And that, you know, their plan to take control of planet Earth is going to be met with resistance, which may entail the death of some of its leading members. This Klaus Schmidt being a prominent nominee, I would offer. I mean, this is a disgusting cretin who's the head of the World Economic Forum, who's suggesting, you know, with propaganda pieces, such as an article that appeared a couple of years ago saying it's 2030 and I own nothing and I'm happier than I've ever been. I have no property and I'm happier than I have ever been. Danny, how happy would you be if you had no property? I mean, this is just absurd. These people have just lost their contact with reality. They're very much like the Democrats. They're ideologically driven. And they don't give a damn about the public that they're supposed to be serving. These are people who want it all unto themselves. And I don't think there are a lot of us who are going to shed tears over the deaths of individuals who are trying to turn us all into serfs and slaves to serve them.
Well, I'm not going to shed any tears at all, sir. They're globalists. I mean, I know what's going on. You can see we've done many shows on this. And they're trying to depopulate the earth. They're trying to cause chaos everywhere. They're trying to cause conflict wherever they can. That's why we see these things going on with the police constantly, with a particular group of people. It's always the same group of people getting in trouble with the police, you know, and the constant, we need to take your guns for your safety kind of thing. You know, it's just totally ridiculous. I would just like to close today, sir, to make sure that people understand, sir, when it comes to firearms, and maybe we can just do a show someday on firearms. If you believe that you need to protect yourself, and I hope you have that belief, and you believe that you need to get a firearm, I would say go out and buy a firearm. But with that, go out and get training. Please go out and get training, and also go out and get safety locking devices, such as a safe, some sort of lock to keep it locked up so nobody can get into it, a child can't get to it. You know, I saw an instance in Houston this weekend where in an apartment in Houston, a toddler got a hold of a loaded firearm that was condition one, which means it was loaded, ready to go, and shot an infant with the firearm. Just an absolute avoidable tragedy. Ridiculous that something like that happened. So again, go out and get that firearm, go out and get yourself some ammo, get the training you need, and lock up that weapon, because we are in for a ride, sir. It's only going to get worse from here before it gets better.
Oh, Danny, I couldn't agree more. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show with me.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
and so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.